This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Swung on, hit in the air, deep to right center field. That's a way back, and that ball is gone! Home run, Jorge Soler, and the Royals are back in front.
Thanks so much for listening. It is The Drive. Carrington here, BK here, Sean here, taking you up until 6 o'clock. We'll give you two chances to win Royals tickets. BK, I promise I'll remember in this segment. Your first chance to win will be coming up in 10 minutes. If you listen during the commercial break, we'll play a drop. If you identify the drop and then call BK and ask nicely, he'll give you a Royals ticket. Seems like a really
good deal. And the Royals win it!
That's a drop you'll hear. Coming up in just a little bit, we will go inside the mind of the machine. We'll do that in a little bit. But first, today's pop quiz is brought to you by Victory Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. BK, what was it?
It was Office Space. I didn't have any reason for picking it. It was just our movie today.
I mean, you're the controller of the pop quiz. If that's what you want the pop quiz to be, then I got absolutely no issue with it.
I mean, it's mid-June. There ain't much going on. Office Space seemed real.
Coming up in just a little bit, the Chargers and the Broncos are being talked about on a national scale. We'll tell you what they had to say. One NFL expert had the Broncos going 2-14 this upcoming season.
Really?
The number one overall pick. We'll talk about that coming up with in just a little bit. But Jorge Soler, sports machine, is having a breakout year.
On pace for 43 home runs. He's third right now in the RBI voting. I think that he's having an all-star type year. He's not going to make the all-star game because he's hitting like 240-something, but he's playing.
I just do want to point out, this is the ninth separate Royal player you've told me is having an all-star season, even though they have the worst record in baseball.
Okay,
you and BK have told me they have 9 all-stars on the team, and they're the worst team in baseball.
I said 12.
It's incredible how that's worked out.
Can we at least admit that he's been significantly better than we expected him to be this season, and it looks like the Royals might end up winning that Wade Davis trade?
This is a weird thing to say, and I'm not like trying to pat myself on the back. Jorge Soler is doing exactly what I thought he was going to do and what he was doing last season. He's just stayed healthy longer.
You thought he was going to be on pace to hit 43. I know that he's a power hitter, and maybe he could hit 30 home runs, and maybe he could hit like 30. He's on pace for 43 home runs and 125 RBI.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to hit 43 home runs. Like, I think at some point he'll cool off just a little bit, which is a weird thing to say because we're almost halfway through the season. But last year, the first part of the season, Jorge Soler was showing you this potential. He just got hurt. Like, it's not like we can say that we completely saw this coming out of nowhere. Kind of like what happened with Alex Gordon. I know it's a little bit different, but the second half of last season, Gordon was starting to turn things around that would suggest that maybe he had gone back to the old Alex Gordon. That's just continued. Jorge Soler showed you at the beginning of last season, like, he was actually playing really well. He just got injured. That he's just really continuing what he already started to do. He's just stayed healthy this entire season.
How do you think the Wade Davis trade's working out now that Jorge Soler is starting to produce?
I mean, I think the Wade Davis trade is what it is. Like, oddly enough, like, they weren't going to keep Wade Davis long-term, so they got some value for him. They were always going to trade for a player that wasn't going to really help them win a whole lot. Like, as great as Jorge Soler is doing, he's hitting a lot of home runs for a team that's not really going anywhere. Like, I think all of us kind of saw this was the writing on the wall for the Wade Davis trade. Like, nothing has really changed my opinion on that. The Royals made the right decision. They traded a closer on a team, and they weren't going to be able to pay him long-term. They got a value that they were going to be able to keep long-term. Now the conversation is, when do you start talking contract negotiation with Jorge Soler and having him long-term? But Jorge Soler has been exactly as advertised. Like, once he's stayed healthy, he's shown you a guy that probably can't play everyday right field, a guy that's not going to hit for a tremendous average, but a guy that can hit for power. Like, that's exactly what he's been.
When would you have the conversation start paying Jorge Soler? Because it seems like at the beginning of the year, most people thought that he could be a 30 home run hitter, and he's been significantly better than that. We all agree that the core includes Mondesi and Witt and Hunter Dozier. So how do you pay this guy? When do you pay this guy? And is he worth a long-term contract?
Yeah, I mean, he's worth a long-term contract. I also don't think a long-term contract with Jorge Soler is going to be super expensive.
No, it's not.
Think about it. Right now, he's making $4 million in 2020. He makes $4 million in 2021. He has an arbitration year, and then he's a free agent by the time that he's 30. So if you agree to a 5-year deal and you play to Jorge Soler $30 million. That's still a really good deal for a guy you think can hit 30, 40 home runs this upcoming season. That's still a really good value. I would do something similar to what happened with Whit Merrifield. Like Whit Merrifield bought out his arbitration year. Maybe you sign Jorge Soler for another year outside of that. I'd be interested in doing the exact same thing with Jorge Soler.
What if they come knocking? What if somebody says, we're interested in Jorge Soler, we need a power bat to get us over the top in this year's postseason? Would you consider trading away Jorge Soler, even though he looks like he's becoming a part of the core going forward?
The only person I'd be interested in trading is Ian Kennedy. There's no other player on the Royals I'm interested in trading that is a young player that's under 30 other than Ian Kennedy. Like, man, you got Jorge Soler. He's 27 years old, making $4 million. You have him in another year of club control and arbitration. So what, over the next 3 years, you could pay Jorge Soler like $11 million? Like, yeah, that's a contract that you want to keep. So, no, I'm not interested in trading Jorge Soler.
Well, the question is he still going to be this good and this productive when the Royals are 3 or 4 years down the road? And I think the answer is probably no. That's the problem, is you have to marry the player's contract with when the team is going to be good. That's the same thing I keep saying about Whit Merrifield. I don't want to trade Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield's contract is way too valuable here in Kansas City. The dude is on a 4-year, $16 million contract, and all he did was lead the American League in both hits and stolen bases. He's a borderline great baseball player. But if you could get back a King's ransom for him, you have to at least answer that phone call.
I was thinking this about Jorge Soler. Maybe this is like a side point, and I'm not comparing him to Barry Bonds, but I think you guys will get the analogy.
Okay.
You guys remember the home run race in 1998, how cool it was every single day. Like, coming home, like, you know, turning to SportsCenter and asking people, man, did McGuire hit another home run? Did Sosa hit another home run? Like, it captivated America that baseball doesn't really do anymore and probably will never do again, that we all were interested in it. And then after the first time, it wasn't really as cool anymore. And it wasn't really cool. Like, when Bonds hit 73 home runs, I understand the Balco and all that kind of stuff. It just wasn't cool anymore because we saw it done a lot cooler. That's kind of how I feel with this Jorge Soler thing. That the Royals, they had a home run record. The Steve Balboni was a 36 home run. Stood there the test of time.
Which is crazy that somehow the record was still 36 through the steroids era. Dudes like what Brady Anderson were hitting 36 before the All-Star break.
And where we looked at certain guys... And I lost my train of thought. Go ahead. go ahead.
I'm sorry. I cut you off there.
That's go ahead.
That one's on me. He is on pace for 43 home runs, third in the league in RBI. Why not play him if he's not going to be in the actual All-Star game, would you want to see him in the home run derby? Dude looks like Pedro Serrano. He hits 400-foot home runs. He deserves to be in at least the home run derby.
Yeah, I mean, he absolutely deserves to be in the home run derby. I mean, tied for fourth in the American League with 19 home runs, third in American League when it comes to RBIs. Like, he's warranted of being in the derby. Now, he's not going to make the game, as you pointed to. I don't think the Jorge Soler has a chance to be in the home run or has a chance to be in the All-Star game. But I have absolutely no issue with him being in the home run derby. It would make a lot of sense for him to be in the derby.
Do you think this is the best of Jorge Soler that we're going to see? Because quite frankly, you said that this is what you expected. This is not what I expected. This is significantly more of Jorge Soler than I expected. The average is about what I thought. He's hitting in the 240s. That's what I expected. But I had no idea that Jorge Soler could be on pace for 43 home runs and over 120 RBI.
Yeah, I mean, I think we, at this point in Jorge Soler's career, we have a really good understanding of what Jorge Soler is. Jorge Soler is going to be somebody that hits for a decent average, is not going to be an everyday right fielder, at least not for the Royals. Like, with the ballpark that they have and the size that the Royals ballpark has, it's just... he's not going to be able to play an everyday right field. But if you can keep him healthy, if he can be a designated hitter, if he can be your Kendrys Morales, he can play 140 days as a designated hitter. Maybe he plays like 120. He plays 20 games for you in the field, and you try to keep him healthy. I think he's a guy that can consistently hit 25 to 30 home runs, which is certainly an incredibly valuable thing to have when you factor in the contract. When you factor in the contract of, again, $4 million this year, $4 million next year, and then he has one arbitration year, man, you're just not on the hook for a lot of money with Jorge Soler.
So, bigger picture for Royals fans out there listening. Now that they've got their core going forward, we agree that Mondesi's obviously part of their core, and Witt is part of their core, and Dozier's part of their core. If we're going to throw Jorge Soler in there, then what's a realistic expectation for this team to at least be decent at baseball again? Because even with that core, that is pretty damn good when it comes to hitting. Now, there's no pitching to speak of. What's a realistic expectation to go, okay, these guys, a couple of guys coming up from the minors, a couple of shrewd moves from Dayton Moore, 2021, 2022, what's realistic for Royals fans to go, okay, if this is our core going forward, when is this core going to actually win games?
I mean, 2021 is probably the answer
to
the question.
That's so close. It's 2019, really?
Yeah, I mean, I would say this year, obviously no. Next year, they're not. But, I mean, you also got to factor in, and some contracts are coming off the books. I mean, Ian Kennedy's contract is close to coming off the books. By that time, Danny Duffy will be in the final year of that deal. Alex Gordon's deal is coming off this year. That if you like the young core of the team, like you guys keep telling me, that you love the young core of this team.
It's how do you spend the money is the next question.
You love the five or six guys when it comes to this team.
Yeah.
But I would say cap wise, or I guess payroll wise, they don't really want to spend a whole lot of money. So then when you factor in that you're going to be potentially getting back $40 million over the next couple of years, that's more than enough for you to build a capable bullpen. That's more than enough for you to go out there and pick up a pitcher or two that you like, a Edison Volquez type, where you sign a two-year, $11 million, $12 million deal, and a guy that works. Like, it's not as hard to turn things around in baseball, especially if you feel like you have the foundation that the Royals already have.
Yeah, when the money becomes available, the question is, how do they spend the money? And they have to spend the money right. That's the only way the Royals can win quick. I like their core. Again, there's no pitching. So with that $30 or $40 million they're going to spend in the next couple of off seasons, they have to go after starting pitching. They have to go after elite starting pitching, because even when the Royals won the World Series a few years ago, they did it because of their defense. They did it because they were really good at running bases. They did it because they had a good lineup. And they did it because they had the best bullpen in the history of the game. They didn't have great starting pitching. They've never really had great starting pitching when it comes to a full rotation. If this team's going to start to win baseball games sooner rather than later, with that money that they have, when Gordon's contract comes off the books, when Kennedy's contract comes off the books, and a couple of years when they don't have to pay Danny Duffy, you got to go out there and find one, two, or three frontline starters.
Coming up in just a little bit, the Broncos, an NFL expert, has them going 2-14 this upcoming season, and Sean's most underrated team in the NFL, the Los Angeles Chargers, are talking about winning the Super Bowl. We'll get to that. But coming up during the break, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of Royals tickets. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll go inside the mind of the machine. Plus, we'll give you another chance to win a pair of Royals tickets. Just keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Very happy to be joined in studio right now by my guy Jay Binkley. Follow him on Twitter at Three Guys in a Garage. He is also the host of Bink at Night. He'll actually be on tonight because the Royals are on the left coast. How you doing, man?
Doing good, C-Dot. Be careful in that mind. I got tangled up in it the other night.
It's a twisted place, isn't it,
Bink? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So I wanted to have you on because there's a couple different conversations to have about the AFC. I do want to point out that yesterday we did – so we're going through the NFL with some kind of fun questions. Yesterday we did who is a team that is overrated, who is a team that is underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Levine picked the Chargers as being underrated. Would you consider the Chargers to be an underrated team in the NFL?
No. I consider them actually probably getting more respect than the Chiefs in a lot of circles as far as the team to beat. The Chargers. Everybody loves the Chargers. I mean, the NFL Network was out there loving them up, talking about them being the team to beat, Daniel Jeremiah and company, and it seems to be the latest trend. So I do not think they're underrated. In a bit, I think they're overrated for what they are, to be honest with you. They're talked about more than the Chiefs in a lot of circles to win this division.
How much separation talent-wise, if at all, do you see between those two teams?
There's not a lot of talent, except when you go quarterback and coach, which are the two biggest factors. In the NFL, Mahomes is better than Rivers, albeit I'll give it Rivers is the best quarterback to not have won a title, but Mahomes is better, and certainly Andy Reid is better than Anthony Lynn. So the coach-quarterback combination and the fact that the Chiefs have beat him 9 out of 10 times, 10 out of 11 if you go back to that game that Chase started that took him to overtime, the Chiefs just owned the Chargers until they can show me something other than winning, you know, kind of on a fluke at the end of the Arrowhead Stadium. Not going to pick him. Not going to believe in him. That's the sexiest pick every year.
I'm curious on who your overrated and underrated teams were in the NFL. My overrated team was the Chicago Bears. When I look at the NFC, all the teams that won double-digit games last year, I thought they were the most likely team to not win double-digit games this year. My underrated team was actually the Jets. I'm kind of high on the Jets this upcoming season. Who would your underrated and overrated teams be in the NFL heading into this year?
I'm actually with you on Chicago. I am, because they haven't done anything in this offseason really to improve that team. So I'm with you 100%. On the Bears, and as far as an underrated team, I still think the Colts aren't getting the due that they deserve. I mean, this is a team that took the steps. Chris Ballard is flipping that team, flipped that offensive line, giving Andrew Luck that protection, Andrew Luck, the comeback player of the year. That's the team to watch out for, especially if they get home field advantage. On the road, it's much different. He's got twice as many interceptions on the road, but can the Colts, you know, build up enough equity in the win column and get more home playoff games? I think that's a very dangerous team. I'm not one of these just buying it. They had the most money on the salary cap this year. They've been very frugal in the money that they have spent. They had the draft picks, and they're slowly building this team up. It's something to watch is the Colts.
I kind of feel like the Colts are maybe one of the more overvalued teams in the NFL for this reason. I mean, every time we've seen the Colts kind of advance in the playoffs, they've shown that there's a pretty decent sized gap between them and the teams that really have a chance. You remember the first time that Andrew Luck got to the AFC Championship game and they got smoked by the New England Patriots. They were just in the playoffs this year. They got smoked by the Kansas City Chiefs. I kind of look at the Colts as being a team that can maybe win double-digit games through the course of the regular season. I just don't know how playoff-ready and tested they are. I don't know. I don't really trust their ability to advance deep in the playoffs. Like, I don't really like their roster a whole lot. I think it's Andrew Luck and just an average core around him.
But it goes back to the main impetus. It's coach and quarterback. I really like Frank Reich. And I think, you know, that acumen that he has of playing the position paired with Andrew Luck, that's why I think there's something to watch, that quarterback-coach combination, because he made a huge difference with that team this year. Andrew Luck couldn't even throw a football last summer, and look what he did last year.
Getting back to the division, how much better do you think Oakland's going to be with all the moves they made this offseason?
I don't like what Oakland's done at all. I mean, heck, even his brother's laughing. Jay Gruden's laughing at John. Say, take the hard knocks out there with Richie and the fellas and Antonio Brown and everything going out there. I don't know. That's the biggest mystery to me, is the Raiders. Is John Gruden crazy, or is he a genius? Because there was times last year, especially when he traded Khalil Mack, I thought he's crazy. And then as the season progressed, okay, they start building up those draft picks. They bring in Mike Mayock, which, again, is a kind of a circus move because you're going to Vegas. But Mike Mayock actually had a really good draft, and I was kind of curious how he would do. But I actually think it's becoming more of a competent organization, not this year, not next year, but the year after. I think the Raiders – I think in this division, it's going to be the Raiders and the Chiefs. I think the Chargers will subside without Phillip Rivers, and the Broncos, until they can get a quarterback, they're not going anywhere.
So right now we're talking to our guy, Jay Binkley. Follow him on Twitter, at Three Guys in a Garage. He's also the host of Bink and Knight. He will be on after us. So let's play this audio for you. This is of NFL Network. This is on the Denver Broncos. Adam Rank, not very high on the Broncos this year.
They brought in the least mobile quarterback in NFL history. Like, they brought in a guy who makes Drew Bledsoe look like Randall Cunningham in his prime. So what does that mean for the record? I think there's a lot of talent in Denver. I just don't think it's going to reflect in the standings because there's a lot of tough matchups here. Going to Oakland, I think the Raiders are much improved this season. You're not going to beat the Bears. You're not going to beat the Packers. You're not going to beat the Jags. You're not going to beat the Chargers. You know what? You're going to beat the Titans. I don't think that's too outlandish. You're not going to beat the Chiefs. You're not going to beat the Colts. You're not going to beat the Browns. You're not going to beat the Vikings. I mean, it's the Vikings, but still, like, even there, okay. The Bills are a pretty good team. The Chargers are better than you. You got the Texans. Where do we think? What do we think of the Texans? You know what? I think the Texans get you. The Chiefs are going to get you. The Lions? I'll give you a win of the Lions. Congratulations. You're 2-14. You get the first pick in the draft. At some point, Drew Locke is going to play. You're going to at least see if he is your quarterback of the future. Otherwise, you can use that first overall selection to draft a quarterback. Sorry to be the one to have to bring this bad news to you, Broncos fans. It's just the way the schedule worked out.
So that's Adam Rank of NFL Network. He had the Denver Broncos going 2-14 this upcoming season. I think 2-14 is a little harsh on the Broncos. Now, I'm not high on the Broncos for some of the reasons that he brought up. Schedule, division, quarterback, new coach. I'm not that high on them. I think 2-14 is harsh. They feel like a 4-12, 5-11-ish type team.
5 wins, 6 wins, 7 wins, somewhere in that area. Where the rest of the NFL zigged, the Broncos zagged. Because everybody else is going out offense, offense, offense. Denver decided to buck that trend. They go defense with Vic Fangio. And again, when you look at quarterback-coach combination, Fangio and Flacco, come on.
That's not doing it for you?
No, that's absolutely laughable. And that's one of the worst quarterback-coach combinations in the NFL, if not the worst coach-quarterback combination the Denver Broncos have. But I do think they'll be a good defensive team, and I think Flacco will be a watered-down version of Alex Smith. You know, stay in games, play good defense, hope the ball bounces your way, and get those wins. Drew Locke, I do think, starts for the team this year at some point. Then you have the training wheels coming on with Drew. It's about learning and developing. Now, he didn't have the advantage and the weapons that Baker Mayfield did with the Cleveland Browns last year when he got to take over. Certainly not like Pat Mahomes. So it's going to be a struggle for Drew Locke, who I do believe in as a quarterback for the Broncos. But again, when the rest of the NFL zigged, they zagged. And it's very curious what they did.
One thing I'd be very frustrated with and concerned with if I was a Broncos fan, they don't really appear to have an identity. Like, your coach is a 60-year-old defensive coordinator. You went out and got Joe Flacco. You drafted a quarterback in the second round. Like, I don't really know what the Broncos' plan is. Like, when the Chiefs, they had a plan. All right, we drafted Patrick Mahomes. We moved up from 27 to 10 to go get him. He is our future. We have a really solid team around him to push us forward. I don't really know what the Broncos' plan is right now.
When there's not that team mindset either. You heard Joe Flacco and you heard some of the comments. It's not my job to train Drew Lock. Well, actually, it is. And I understand you're getting paid and you're being paid for the Denver Broncos. But that's the way things work in this league. You're a guy, you're Joe Flacco, that's really struggled as of late. And you're not elite like everybody says that he is, but that's a joke. But he's not helping Drew Lock any. I mean, I'm just really kind of wondering how that works. That's not a team dynamic when your quarterback's supposed to be a leader, not a punchline.
Before you get out of here real quick, your thoughts about the NFC. Is it a two-horse race between the Saints and the Rams?
Yeah, at this point, I would have to say those two will be there at the end. I think the Saints are the best team in the NFC. I think the Saints are going to the Super Bowl this
Maybe
year.
Maybe Philly, the Bears, perhaps? I don't believe in the Bears.
Philadelphia, I think, will be good with Carson Wentz. I think it'll be a team that's there. It'll be a playoff team. Maybe they can make some damage. Might even be able to beat the Rams because we saw a different Rams team that wasn't quite as explosive as we saw at the beginning of the year. But I'm definitely on Team Saints. I mean, they should have been the Super Bowl last year. In my opinion, they would have given the Patriots a run, but I think the Saints, by far, are the team to beat in the NFC.
That is our guy, Jay Binkley. Follow him on Twitter, at Three Guys in a Garage. Also, catch him tonight. He is the host of Bink at Night. Bink, always good talking to you, my man.
All right, man.
A little bit of breaking news in the NBA. This is courtesy of Yahoo Sports. Sources tell Yahoo, Chris Paul wants out of Houston. He considers his relationship with James Harden to be unsalvageable. Makes absolutely no sense. I mean, when you look at the demise of now the Golden State Warriors, you would think that Houston is primed to step up and be the best team in the West. But no, Chris Paul and James Harden can't get along, and Chris Paul doesn't want to play on the team anymore. That makes the most sense in the world. Coming up in just a little bit, we will go inside the mind of the machine. Next is The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you another chance to win a pair of Royals tickets. Let me give you guys the update on the Chris Paul, James Harden feud. I just read the story. The delicate relationship between the two Rocket stars has been termed unsalvageable. Uh-oh. And the star players want a divorce. The backcourt mates went nearly 2 months without speaking to each other during the season, creating a tenuous environment for teammates and everyone involved with the franchise. Chris Paul went to Rocket management and demanded a trade. Harden issued a him or me edict following the Rockets' second round loss to the Golden State Warriors. If James Harden said it's him or me, I think they're picking the sixth best player in the NBA in James Harden. It then goes on to say that Harden hasn't returned Paul's repeated attempts at communicating this offseason. Sources say after a year in which the pair repeatedly got under each other's skin with petty acts and practices in games, that sounds exactly like James Harden and Chris Paul. This is not going to end very well. But the thing is, I don't know how the Rockets trade Chris Paul. Given his age and his contract and his injury history, I don't know what value you get for Chris Paul.
So those State Farm commercials are just lying to my face? They're not actually homeboys?
Yeah, this is like the 27th guy that Chris Paul's gotten into it with. At some point, you got to look in the mirror and say, hey, man, maybe I'm part of the problem here.
The only person that seems to like Chris Paul is LeBron James.
LeBron, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo Anthony. Like, those are the only people that like him. And I'm not sure those people like him, but he's just like kind of part of the crew, so they got to like him.
Yeah, I don't think that anyone else likes Chris Paul, which, I mean, he's the head of the Players Association. How are you the head of the Players Association if the players don't like you? Seems to be very difficult. Coming up in just a little bit, OJ and Sean have something in common.
What?
Believe me, you will want to hear what it is, but let's go inside the mind of the machine.
Welcome back in, C-Doc. Good to see you as always, BK. I don't know why I had this epiphany last night when I couldn't sleep, but most of the big free agency, Dot, their name begins with a K. Kawhi, Kyrie, Kemba, Clay, and KD. So let's go over them one by one. Where do these guys end up? First, Kawhi.
The Clippers.
Kyrie.
The Brooklyn Nets.
Kemba.
Back in Charlotte.
Wow, he said he wants to stay there. Klay Thompson.
Golden State.
Kevin Durant.
Golden State. On a 1-1.
Why would he do that, though?
Durant or Golden State?
Durant.
Because he's injured and he can make $31.5 million by saying yes.
Or he can make more by going elsewhere, taking the max, and protecting himself against the possibility of him not being the same guy whenever he gets back. I don't see him coming back for a 1-1. I think he either signs for the max with the Warriors or goes elsewhere for the max. I don't
so
think
you're
he's
saying
taking a 1 year
$200 million is better than $31.5 million?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
This is what I would suggest.
Paul McCartney turned 77 today. See, now you said the Beatles weren't a boy band. You sticking with that?
Yes, they're not a boy band. They're a rock band.
They're a boy band. They're the original boy band.
They're a rock band with boys. They're not a boy band.
No, they are a boy band. They're the original boy band. So who's your favorite all-time boy band if it's not the Beatles?
I just wouldn't have the Beatles and NSYNC in the same category. Like, I feel like they're a little bit different. Like, I wouldn't have
Rolling Stones is gonna be up here.
Yeah, like I wouldn't have Aerosmith and O-Town in the same category. Like, I feel like they make two different kinds of music and styles of music, that they should be in two completely different
kinds
of groups.
On the block, the Eagles.
My favorite boy group,
Boys to Men.
No, I'm not a big Boys to Men fan.
Go.
I actually listen to music
to
after '97.
The road.
Probably.
Just say Hanson. You know it's Hanson.
I mean, can I just now count rap groups? Are we just there's just two men that are in it? Can we count that? So I can say UGK is my answer.
No,
for my
that's
favorite.
Not a boys band. That's not a boy band. Come on now. Well, with Anthony Davis. On
Let
the
me
Lakers,
ask you this: What makes the Beatles a boy band but not Outkast?
It's a good question. It's a fair question.
Yeah, I know.
It's one that I don't have the answer
that's what
to.
I try to ask really good questions from time to time.
Because doesn't Outkast only have two dudes?
Yeah, it's just two
I don't
people.
Think you can be a boy band with just two dudes. Like, I don't think Criss Cross is a boy band. I'm trying to come up with a boy band that only had two guys. It seems like it's like minimum of four.
So you're saying that Run DMC could be counted as a boy band because they have three people in their group?
No, four.
Okay.
Four.
You got to have four.
That's my minimum.
You got to have
for
four.
For my boy band criteria, okay, four is the minimum.
My bad. All right, cool.
With Anthony Davis now on the Lakers, as things currently stand, are they the most talented team in the NBA?
I mean,
five players under contract.
Yeah, it's so hard to know at this point, just given how uncertain. I mean, we're less than a week into the NBA offseason. Like, we haven't had the draft yet. We haven't had the start of free agency left. Like, this is just a question to ask July 3rd, not June 18th.
I mean, they've got five guys under contract, two of which are Mo Wagner, who doesn't play for him, and another dude who nobody knows his name. They've got three guys on the roster currently who are going to be part of their rotation. Do they have the best 1-2 punch in the NBA? Absolutely, no question about it. But I want to see how they fill out the rest of their roster before saying they are the most talented top to bottom.
Guys, I saw a survey earlier today that says women prefer dad bods over six packs. Do we believe that at all?
No, I don't believe that at all.
I hope it's true. BK hopes it's not true, since he's actually in decent shape. I would love for that to be true. I feel like dad bods...
I just don't understand why we continue trying to do this.
I feel like that's like, you know, ugly people say it's what's on the inside that counts. That's just not true.
Did they ask women this question, or was this like...
Yes, it was women that were surveyed, yeah.
Okay, how many women? 30 women? You know how they love... News companies love doing that. They love talking to five people. Like,
this
women
is sponsored
everywhere,
by a pizza place or something like that.
Yeah, because I was reading some story today about one of these, like, influencer people that did something. They upset everybody. And then I looked at the story. It was like four burner accounts that were like, the internet is outraged. No, the internet is not outraged. You found three people on the internet, and that's your outrage. So, yeah, that fits in this category.
Who's had the better career, Drake or Eminem? Drake, by the way, is worth about $150 million. Eminem is worth about $210 million, if you're curious.
That's a really, really good question, because they just operate in two completely different spaces. I'll say Drake, because his reign has been longer. Like, Drake's... I mean, it's going on 10 years, and it doesn't appear like it's going to end anytime
soon. Eminem's been in the game for a long time, and he's like...
he wasn't at the top
50.
For as long.
Yeah, no, I mean, in the game. I mean, yeah, I agree with you, but I mean...
He's got a movie. Drake doesn't have a movie about him, does he?
No, he does not have a movie about him.
He was on Degrassi, though. Eminem was not.
That's very accurate. I mean, you could also argue that Drake is the most, radio-friendly rapper in the history of the medium before. So, I mean, that kind of just changes it, too.
Eminem
but
is not.
They're just two completely different kinds of artists. Like, Eminem was much more of an album artist. I would consider Drake a lot more of a singles artist.
Did you answer the question?
I said Drake, yeah. Okay. You started talking right after I answered
Drake.
The question.
You're going Drake, too? The Royals have won two straight games. Will they ever lose again? And when do they start trading away pieces?
I don't think they are trading away pieces. I think they maybe trade away some like smaller parts. I think they trade away like Billy Hamilton. If we're talking like pieces, like major pieces, I do not think that that's going to happen.
There was a piece on MLB Trade Rumors yesterday on the best trade candidates. This basically took into account the likelihood of a trade plus the on-field ability and the value that that player would bring in a trade. The Royals had six guys in the top 50. Jake Diekman was their top option. He was the number seven player. Whit Merrifield was number 10. Duffy was on the list. Kennedy, Billy Hamilton, and Gordo. I think of those guys, the ones that I see getting traded are probably Diekman and Hamilton, and maybe they're able to get something done with Ian Kennedy. But I bet you that starts as we get closer to July.
What does that really bring you back, though?
I just
a couple lottery tickets.
I just wouldn't count trading Jake Diekman and Billy Hamilton as trading away pieces. Like, yeah, I expect they're going to make those kind of moves.
Jake Diekman could probably get them something similar to what they got for Kelvin Herrera.
Yeah, I would count. I just would count Ian Kennedy. Like, that's a major move. Trading Billy Hamilton for
you get
two
more
Z-mans.
For Diekman than Kennedy.
Yeah, probably because of the contract.
Yeah.
Is Lonzo leaving L.A. the end of the Big Baller brand? Is the Big Baller brand still a thing?
I mean, the end of the Big Baller brand was when
the shoes first came out and sucked?
No, I mean, the end of the Big Baller brand was when his homeboy stole $2.1 million. I mean, that was really the end of
it's
the Baller
It's still a thing,
brand.
Though, right? Big Baller brand
no,
still exists.
I just told you what happened.
I thought you were being facetious. It's no, gone? It's done? That's it?
A guy that's close to Lonzo stole $2.1 million.
Wow. That makes it tough.
Like his handler. Like LeVar's like best friend. Was like kind of their like it kind of like was Lonzo's uncle. He stole $2.1 million from him, and that kind of was the end of Baller brand. Like Lonzo covered his tattoo up.
I don't blame him. Who's more important to Patrick Mahomes' success, Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce?
I think that's kind of like asking, is it worse to die in a fire or be burned alive? Like both are just equally important. Like I mean, you kind of need both of them to be successful. So I like the same.
I would say in terms of. I'd probably go Kelce just because he seems like more of a security blanket. It's easier to find good receivers than it is an amazing tight end. Like, I'm just go by fantasy, right? There's like three guys that you want in fantasy football this year at the tight end position. There's like 50 receivers that could in any given week give you 100 yards. So I'd go Kelce just because there's fewer guys that can be 6'5", 240 and have the ability that he has athletically. So I'd go Kelce.
Yeah, I mean, this is just one of those questions. Like, you could make a really strong, compelling argument for either side sure. and not be wrong. You know, like, I mean, when you factor in Mahomes' arm strength and Tyreek Hill's down-the-field ability, you could certainly make a really good argument for it. If you argue scarcity of the position, you could really make a case for Travis Kelce. There's no wrong answer out of those two.
And before you get out of the mind of the machine, Men in Black International was a bust over the weekend. Was the original Men in Black Will Smith's best movie?
No, I don't think it was his best movie. I would put Independence Day ahead of it. I would put the original Bad Boys ahead of it. I would say Pursuit of Happiness is a better movie.
Perhaps I Am Legend?
No.
I Am Legend. I actually think I Am Legend's a good movie with a bad ending. Like, I think it's a really good movie except the last 15 minutes. That's kind of how I feel about Hancock. I actually thought Hancock was really good until the plot twist, and then it became absolutely ridiculous that it wasn't good after that.
Bad Boys 2 is really good.
You've made it outside the mind of the machine.
Coming up during the commercial break, keep your ears locked. We'll give you a chance to win a pair of Royals tickets when you hear Ryan Lefevre's Sweet Sounds. All you got to do is keep it locked in. Plus, O.J. Simpson and Sean Levine have the exact same fantasy football strategy, which means, I think in the case of O.J., run. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Back in on The Drive. Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in our Pack a Day giveaway. Coming up at 4 o'clock, Sean said something yesterday where he doesn't see how you can date women for cheaper than $150. We'll kind of go more into that comment coming up in just a little bit. And Dayton Moore said that he knew that 2018 through 2021 were going to be some lean years
oh,
for
he
your
was right
Kansas
about
City
that.
Royals.
He was
so,
accurate.
So we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. Before we get into our little NFL series that we're doing this week, I want to play for you guys a drop. This is O.J. Simpson on his Twitter account. He recently joined Twitter, and he said that he was going to be giving us a wide range of thoughts, including...
I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics.
So, O.J. Simpson on his Twitter account, which is your right, you want to join Twitter and you want to get these tweets off, I completely understand it. I do it every day. So O.J. went on there and said that he's got a lot he wants to talk about. He said that, you know, he wants to cover sports, politics, and even a little fancy football. So he sent this tweet out earlier today, which got me thinking because this is your opinion on fancy football. Taking an early look at fantasy football, Patrick Mahomes is my clear number one, but with Tyreek Hill's status up in the air, I'm debating between Baker Mayfield or Todd Gurley. What do you think? Am I missing someone? The fact that you and O.J. Simpson have the exact same opinions on fantasy football tells me they are the wrong opinions. That as good as Patrick Mahomes was, if you're taking Patrick Mahomes number one overall in your fantasy league, you're going to lose. I'm sorry to tell you that. If you're considering taking Todd Gurley with the number one overall pick, you are going to lose if that's the case. I hate to be the one to tell you
his
that.
His options were Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield or Todd Gurley, who has arthritis.
You were going to lose. Okay. If those are the three people that you're thinking about, Patrick Mahomes, Baker, or Todd Gurley, you're going to lose. So you told us that you're planning on, if you get the number one overall pick this year, you're thinking about taking Patrick Mahomes. I just want to tell you that you and OJ think alike.
No, could be, no, should be. If I have the number one pick, my league's a little bit different, though, than a typical ESPN fantasy league where the quarterback holds a little bit more weight. So quarterbacks tend to go high. Oh, you just think that I'm an idiot and I misspoke and I shouldn't have said that I should take Patrick Mahomes with the number one overall pick. I'm not really with you, OG, on most things, like 99.9% of things. I basically think that you're a flat-out liar. But this, my friend, the juice, Orenthal, I believe it is, couldn't agree with you more, man. Patrick Mahomes should be the number one overall pick. At the very minimum, I think we'd all agree, the first quarterback taken off the board, right?
Yeah, if you take him with the first quarterback, I just wouldn't take a quarterback in the first or second round, but that's just me. I also play daily fantasy and not season-long fantasy. You sound a lot like this.
And I've always managed my own affairs, and I like to think very successfully.
You haven't.
So when you see these guys like Norm and these guys claim that they're my manager, it's just not true.
So I just want to point out that you sound very similar to the Juice. He says he manages his own affairs. I assume you draft your own teams. You think you're doing it successfully. You're not doing it successfully. Listen to people like BK. We literally have a friend that his job is fantasy football. If you have a fantasy football question, call Hikes. I'll give you his number if you don't have him.
Oh, I got his number.
So before you draft players, before you sit down and make a decision on taking Patrick Mahomes number one overall in your fantasy, call Hikes, because he would tell you, no, don't. That's a bad idea. Don't do it. Reconsider.
My problem is I always want superstars. Like, I never want Tariq Cohen, even though he's a great fantasy player. I always want Todd Gurley. So I'd probably make that same mistake this year.
You should take Todd Gurley over Tariq Cohen, though.
But you get my point. I always want the big name. I always want the superstar. And almost never, when I say almost, it never has worked out for me. 13 years playing fantasy
football.
Calvin
Johnson in round 10.
If he's available, yeah. I'm drafting Jerry Rice for years.
I mean, but how you win your fantasy is finding those diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, I get it. I'm just not good at it.
Get yourself some Chris Godwin this year.
I understand how to win. I just can't execute.
Okay, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win a prize in our Pack-A-Day giveaway. We'll also get into Sean's comment from yesterday that I don't know how you meet a girl without spending less than $150. Seems very obvious, but we'll get into that coming up in just a little bit. But so we're doing this game. You can only repeat or only use a team one time. Yesterday, we did most overrated team in the NFL. I had the Chicago Bears. Who did you have?
I had the Colts.
Who did you have?
I had the 49ers.
We also did underrated. I had the New York Jets.
I had the Chargers.
I had the Seahawks.
So today we are going to do, what team do you think is going to improve or regress? Kind of the same thing. But that's neither here nor there. My improved team is going to be the San Francisco 49ers.
What?
That's going to be my improved team.
What?
I think that Kyle Shanahan is one of the best offensive minds in the NFL, and we got to give him a little bit of credit for winning three games last year with B.J. Mullins. Now, they won four games, so seven would be an improvement. Based on the rules.
Okay.
I think that San Francisco could win six or seven games, which would classify them as being better than they were last season. They were 1-2 with Jimmy Garoppolo. You think about it. They were 1-1 with Garoppolo. They went on the road to Kansas City, a team that was one of the three best teams in the NFL. They then lost that team. They then lost their quarterback. And then they played 13 remaining games with C.J. Mathert and B.J. Mullins.
That's his name's Nick.
B.J. Mullins gives you no chance to win. No chance to win. So I'm going to pick the San Francisco 49ers as my improved team.
Terrible. Right.
My improved team is going to be a team that went 6-9-1 last year. And Vegas said that they were going to be a 10-win football team heading into the season. And that is Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Because, sorry, BK, I did it to you again, didn't I?
Yeah, this is the one. We talked about it beforehand. Hey, you didn't take this team for the regress, did you? Nope. I did take this team for improve.
My bad. But they've got Aaron Rodgers. They've got a new coach. They've got a frontline wide receiver. There's no way they're going to only win six games next year. So my most improved team is going to be the Green Bay Packers.
All right. Well, let's think on the fly here. I had the Packers.
You can take the Packers. It's your team. You don't have to pick a different team because he picked your team. Pick the team you think.
I'm going to stick with the Packers because I can't find anybody else on the fly that I want to go with here. So we're going with the Packers for the similar reasons to what Sean just said. The Packers are a really good team that had a really terrible year because Aaron Rodgers was hurt. They had a bumbling idiot as their coach for 7 years. And finally, Aaron Rodgers has a coach that seems to know what he's doing, So I'm going to go with the Packers. I think they ultimately make the playoffs this year. I think it's the Packers and the Vikings out of the NFC North. The Bears take a little bit of a slide down. The Packers are my team that I think is going to improve this year.
He ordered the same thing I did off the menu. He could have gone with anything. He could have got a Philly. He could have got the tacos. But he went with the exact same thing that I got, bacon cheeseburger.
And there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. All right, the team that I think will regress in 2019, I'm going to take the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson has to prove to me that he's not Black Tim Tebow. I would love for Lamar Jackson to be successful, but it kind of looked like Tebow, it felt like Tebow, and it played a lot like Tebow, that if that's the case, you ain't winning double-digit games and making the playoffs again next season. I will take the Baltimore Ravens as my team most likely to regress in 2019.
The Bears went 12-4 last year, and I'm not exactly sure how. They've got Mitchell Trubisky as their quarterback. He's good, but not great. I think Nagy did a great job in year one. They've got a really, really good defense, obviously, with Khalil Mack. But are they going to go 12-4 again? No way. Not in that division. I think the Vikings are going to be improved. I think the Packers are going to be improved. Hell, I think the Lions are going to be better than they were a year ago. So just because they play in a tough division and they won 12 games last year, the Bears have to regress from what they were a year ago.
For as much as we talk about what made the Rams being successful last year being their passing game, what's made the Rams successful over the last couple of years under Sean McVay has actually been their running game and their offensive line. Well, here's the guys that are starting for them on the interior of the offensive line this year. Joseph Noteboom, Brian Allen, and Austin Blythe. Okay, none of those guys were starters for them last year. Todd Gurley has arthritis in his knee. They've lost some pieces off of their defense from last year. They're starting to get a little older on that side of the ball as well. I think the Rams are the team that is going to regress this season. I think they're still going to be solid. I could see 9 or 10 wins from them and maybe sneaking into the playoffs. But the Rams from 13-3 to where they're going to be next year, I think they're a team that is primed for regression in 2019.
You know who's also primed for regression in 2019?
I'll be able to talk about everything, especially sports, fantasy football, and even politics.
OJ's about to have a DraftKings deal here in 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed.
He's definitely going to tweet hashtag ad coming up here in a little bit. He's going to have it where every day he's going to tweet his, or every Sunday he's going to tweet his fantasy football lineup, and you can compete against OJ in fantasy football. That's 100% going to happen.
It's going to be a really inappropriate name that OJ probably shouldn't have used, because this guy just doesn't know the temperature of the room, does he?
No, not at all. I can't imagine sharing football thoughts with that man. You and him. I mean, two peas in a pod. You and OJ.
We've got an open spot in our league, actually, OJ. So maybe I should tweet at him and see if he wants to join our
league.
He's going to
take Patrick Mahomes right out from underneath you.
Yeah, damn right. Yeah, he would, wouldn't he?
Yeah, that's 100% going to happen. Coming up in just a little bit, Sean says that you cannot meet and get to know a woman for less than $150. We'll have that conversation coming up in a little bit, but let's give you a chance to win a prize. This throws BK off every single day.
It's only button he misses all day long.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's time for the Drive so Package A giveaway, brought to you by the Baseball Card Store, located on West 87th Street in Overland Park.
I just want to take you guys behind the scenes. This is how the Pack a Day giveaway works. I had this idea of Pack a Day, kind of play up the cigarettes thing and baseball cards. Makes sense because it's sports.
Ah, it's genius.
BK and I went to meet the man and sell him on my idea.
It was a great idea.
He really liked it. We had a good lunch, good talk. We've gone there multiple times.
You took me to the baseball card
store.
If
anybody knows about the Pack a Day giveaway, it's BK.
It's literally in the rundown right in front of my face.
And it never leaves the rundown.
Same time every day except for Friday.
3:45. BK's responsibility is to find a baseball trivia question.
I do have it. The trivia is ready.
And then ask you about it. Every day at 3:55, he looks completely stunned when it's time to go to the Pack a Day giveaway. It makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. I can't work in this environment.
Like I said, every day you've got a chance to win a 2019 Topps Royals team set along with a vintage John Hopman pack of cards. You'll have it. It just might be closer to 3:57.
Like a magic eight ball, perhaps.
Each daily winner then entered for a chance to win a signed Adalberto Mondesi rookie card, and everybody who wins this summer goes into the drawing for the grand prize of a Mondesi signed baseball bat. All of this thanks to our great friends over at the Baseball Card Store. All you got to do is get this trivia question correct. The Royals lead the MLB in two main offensive categories. What are they? The Royals do lead the MLB in two main offensive categories. These are good categories. What are they? If you know the answer, be caller number 6 at 913-576-7610 for your chance to win.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll continue to help BK learn how to do radio. And Sean says that you cannot get to know a woman for cheaper than $150. We'll examine. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.